I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to The Memo. I'm Derek Russell on this August 17th, joined by Brad Locke today. Brad, you don't get to say so. We're doing a great... how are you, sir?
Fine.
He hasn't had his coffee again. This is 2 days in a row.
Keep oversleeping.
What? Oh, is that it?
Because I can't sleep at night very well. So, therefore, when the alarm goes off...
Is it the ghost?
I don't know.
Or the ghost keeping
I
you up?
I don't know. I turn it off in my sleep, basically.
Is the ghost keeping you up?
No. Baby.
The light in the window.
Huh?
The light in the window.
No.
How's the big hole?
It's still there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you should get a pole.
Got to get somebody else to do that. Down.
I'm telling you, we'll come by and do it. We'll get some spackle.
Don't know how much it costs to work the sheetrock work like
that.
Come
on, we'll come do it. We'll come get it done for you.
I told y'all it's leaking again.
No.
Did I not mention that?
No, you didn't mention that. It's a good thing you didn't patch it.
Now it's in the baby's bedroom. It's leaking.
Oh, it's the other end.
Yeah, okay. It's basically the same area.
Well, the baby's too young to care about aesthetics,
She's still in our room at the moment anyway.
Oh, okay.
We haven't got to the point where we've wanted to.
Well, I'm going to just go ahead and say that's probably why you're not sleeping, Brad.
Well, yeah, but then...
I solved all your problems right there. Put the baby
in. We got
in
to figure out a way to ease her into being in a room without us.
Is the crib on wheels?
She's been there for a year.
I'll tell you how easy. You just slowly push her in there and shut the door.
Yeah, and then listen to her scream all night.
That's fine. They need it. They need to know that you're not always going to be there for them. Isn't that how that works? They need to know that you're just a man. And you can't do everything.
I don't think that's exactly the philosophy.
That's what the books I read said.
It reminds me of the story of the dad who told his son to stand up on the fence or something and fall back, and he'd catch him, and he falls back and hits the ground. He's like, there's your lesson, son. Don't trust anybody.
That's right. Amen to that story. Don't trust anybody ever.
Yeah.
Just slowly push the baby into the room. And you could get a cardboard cutout of you.
I mean, actually, that's probably something I should get anyway. Put it next to your cubicle.
But no, I don't want that. Sure. I'm just thinking, put it in there by the baby. Get one of those that waves.
And just creep her out.
The hand smell is just like leading over into the crib.
No.
Why not?
I don't think so.
Daddy's always there, even when he's not.
My oldest daughter has this life-size cutout of Harry Styles.
And then put the...
One Direction. She's a huge One Direction fan. She used to have it in her room near the door, and every time I'd walk in there in the semi-darkness, it freaked me out. It's like, who's standing?
Just punch Harry Styles right in the face.
I'd like to.
That's probably that face.
I'm talking about
the
real Harry Styles. I'd like to punch in the face. I have to punch all five of them in the face.
You could get the cardboard cut out and pluck the eyes out and put the baby monitor camera in there. I'm making this thing far creepier than it needs to be. It's already a cardboard cut out of you, so that's the high end of creepy.
Thanks.
You're welcome. It took you a minute to get that. It's noticeable.
I was still thinking about
punching
One Direction in the face. Sorry.
All of them?
All five of them. They've all got such punchable faces.
It escalated so quickly.
Such punchable faces.
It was one cardboard cutout. Now it's the entire, where are they from, New Zealand or something?
England, and I think one's from Ireland.
Good for them.
I know way too much about this band.
Uh-huh.
I can probably name them all. You got Zane. You got Harry.
But Zane's not with them anymore.
No, he broke off. Zane, Harry... Zane Malik, heck, I'll go for last names. Harry Styles, Louis Tomlinson.
Oh. Enrico.
No, no.
Quiet. Alone.
No.
What?
Who'd I name so far?
Elvis Costello.
I don't know.
Louis, Harry, and
Bruce Springsteen.
And Zane, and two other guys.
Paul Simon.
I know their names.
Can you sing us a few lines?
Art Garfunkel.
I don't want to. I can't sing. Of course, neither can they. Boy.
That's just because they hadn't hit puberty yet.
Now, see, now I've got to
draw my voice changes and the whole thing messes up.
I know my daughter's convinced they're not breaking up, even though a second one has gone off to do a solo thing.
And she's in denial.
She is in denial. They're not breaking up, Dad. I'm like, honey, you're 19. You just
put the baby in her room. Give her some companionship since she's losing her group.
You need to face reality, okay? Harry, Louis, Zane. Why can't I remember these... Jackwagon's name.
You just Googled them.
And I still can't.
Jackwagon?
A bunch of jackwagons.
Is that a term of an affection?
No.
I've never heard of that. What is a jackwagon?
Liam Payne, of course. And Niall Horan, my second oldest daughter's crush.
Oh, look, jackwagon defined. The definition of jackwagon is a slang insult meaning worthless or lazy.
I first heard it from...
That may have originated from the nickname of a 19th century chow wagon in a wagon train. Yeah. An example of a jackwagon... Oh, look, it's Bradlock's face.
Our first
example of a jackwagon is an insult you would call someone who you thought was a loser.
I heard Arlie Ermey use it on a commercial once, and I've used it ever since.
That's actually a great... And it's all one word, if AP style, all one word, if you might.
I used it in my Crime Reports blog the other day. I dubbed a guy Jackwagon McJerkface.
Jackwagon? I'm not familiar with that. I'm
Jack for short.
I always love the definitions on Urban Dictionary, so... Let's see what jackwagon, noun, loser, comma, someone who is totally worthless.
So One Direction.
Go. All right,
members, there you go.
Can you use like it, can,
if One Direction? Like, send us an email.
Yeah, if you'd like to use it in a sentence, an example would be: you're doing it wrong, you jackwagon.
Boy.
Good stuff.
Good thing my daughter doesn't listen to this. She'd send me an angry text in all caps if she did.
No.
Yeah.
That's that generation's only form of conveyance.
Pretty much.
All right. Well.
Anyway, moving
full
on.
Full show today. Dennis Sid's going to be joining us.
I don't know. I think we should just talk about terrible boy bands the whole time.
Well,
which is kind of redundant, but.
No, so you got New Kids. New Kids are good.
No, they're not.
You're terrible.
They stink. 98 Degrees stinks.
They're a bunch of jackwagons.
NSYNC stinks. Backstreet Boys stinks. One Direction stinks.
Emma Kent's going to be joining us as well as Bobby Harrison live from Jackson.
That's Bobby about boy bands.
Jack Wagonson. Jackson. And Jenna Parsons going to be talking food. We'll ask her if she's ever heard the terminology jackwagon before. All this and more on today's episode of The Memo, brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods on East Main Street in Tupelo. Dennis Sid joining us now to discuss, there's three staples in Tupelo. There's... after the atomic fallout, there will be cockroaches, taxes, and the Tupelo Furniture Market. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Just fine, thanks.
Good to have you on. We're gearing up. When do we get started?
Well, it officially starts tomorrow, although people are already out at the market buying furniture, accessories, all that good stuff. So the buying has begun unofficially, but there you go.
Have you rented out your home yet?
No, being out in Pratt's, I think I'm a little too far out for some.
What's that address, by the way, for the listeners?
It's in the Pratt's community.
Okay, all right. We'll find you, no problem.
I have donuts.
No, thank you. I had one. They're very good. is that still a thing? People still rent out the homes for the furniture market?
Yeah, they still have the that program going, but we also have 1,700 hotel rooms
that
are available.
So. My grandmother used to always do that and rent out the home.
But, you know, some folks they'd rather stay inside a home rather than a hotel. Now, if there's anything wrong with the hotel,
not
the fine
whatsoever.
Hotels we have here in town.
All 1,700 of them. Well, maybe 15.
But, some folks have been doing it the whole time they've been coming to market, so it's like another home.
Like we said, it's a big staple. So what are we looking forward to this year with the furniture market or this time?
Well, if you're buying, you're looking for good deals to put in your store. If you're selling, you're hoping there are a lot of buyers out there. And the market officials they feel better than they did in February, which was kind of a down market. The pre-registration numbers are up, but you know. Proof is in the pudding. We'll know if they all turned out by the end of the market, which is Sunday. Although the bulk of the buying will be done, today and tomorrow.
You also had a story in today's paper about Debbie Henry, the market's director of sales.
Yeah, she a good interesting story. You know, she's been in sales basically all her life, and about 7 years ago, she was kind of staying at home and having spent time with. Raising kids and grandkids, and a friend of the market asked her to help out with sales, and she thought it would be a part-time gig, and 7 years later, she's now director of sales, so she's one of two people who are responsible for bringing the exhibitors, the vendors into the market, and tell them, hey, you need to show here, you need to sell your stuff here.
Now, obviously, it is more of an exhibitor type situation. Nobody really can walk off the street into the furniture market. There's right, a lot of people around here that have probably never even stepped foot in the Tupelo furniture market as a result of that.
Although, for the past couple of years, Building 1 has been open during the market, you know, where the public can come in for free and they can shop some of the same things that retailers and buyers of furniture buy. It's an opportunity for them to see what's available, and not just furniture, but accessories and other things for the home and business.
In high school, I used to, both times a year, I would work moving furniture for the furniture
market. It's hard work.
Yeah, it is.
And good money, I'm sure.
It was excellent money. It was excellent money at the time.
It's worth going through the 100-degree hallways when there's not air conditioned before the market.
Yeah. All right. Well, they will, like you said, things are getting started as we speak. Thursday, really the upswing for it all. Any more news to talk about from the west side of town?
Not yet.
All right. When's Dairy Queen coming?
Not soon enough.
All right. What about any other list of the 40 restaurants we're about to get all at the same time?
Anthony's is officially opening August 26th, which is a Friday.
Nice.
So,
Salsarita's is open. You and I went there the other night.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. What about this Mooyah?
It was crowded.
What about this
Mooyah? What's this Mooyah business? Never heard of such.
I've never heard of it either.
What is a Mooyah burger?
You know, if you're a ESPN,
it's the very anti-vegetarian campaign. I'm guessing.
think booyah! It's Mooyah. Uh-huh. So these guys started.
But there's a cow in the cup, so I'm guessing. Yeah.
Hey, burgers, shakes, and fries.
Where are we getting that at?
Well, they're looking for a franchisee worth about $500,000 who wants to open
sign
up.
Sign me up.
I was going to say, my friend Brad Locke.
Team and all
going in together.
Yeah, well, we all go.
If we're all going together, let's get an In-N-Out or something. Where's my Zaxby's? Why haven't you gotten that going yet? You're too far away from the microphone, Dennis. Come back.
I'm still working on Target. I mean, come on now.
You got your work cut out for you there. All right. Well, thanks for coming on today, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps, and new episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. If you miss it, catch the replay later in the day. The podcast version drops later on in the afternoon. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Gene and myself and Blake Morgan today previewing some of the big games coming up this Friday. Got high school football kicking off this weekend. So listen for that. Ole Miss and MSU fans, check out Double Coverage. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. I haven't heard from the guys if they're going to do an episode this week. I know Parrish is tending to family in Louisiana where all that flooding's going on, so we'll keep you posted on that. Let's welcome Emma Kent into the program now. Hello, Emma. Welcome back. How are you?
Good. How are you, Brad?
Super. Not really. Haven't had coffee, but you got to pretend when you're on the podcast.
Well, why don't you have any?
No time.
Right now.
No time. Haven't had time. No time to make it or go buy it. I'm a busy
man. That's why
my mornings just are nonstop.
I'm sure, because you have 18 kids.
Yes. I got to take them to school. I have to, go to school and stuff. Whatever.
Poor Brad.
Shut up, Derek. Let's talk about a couple of things. And first, this whole cluster with the grants. I don't know who screwed it up. Somebody screwed it up. I guess it was the MDE. Their Office of Federal Programs issued 46 new grants. In 2015-16, didn't budget for 65 grantees that were continuing from the previous year. It seems like a basic mistake, and now they're going to have to cut this year, right? I'm just reading what you wrote. It seems like a basic mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's a budgeting error. I guess they just...
A huge budgeting error.
Yeah, $19 million. Yeah, so now they're not sure what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of programs, after-school programs could get cut?
Mm-hmm. It's after-school, and some of them are before school, but it more just... you know, outside of the regular school day. Enrichment programs, tutoring, just extra support for students who need it. Yeah. So it's, I mean, that's good stuff. So, you know, that's going to affect a lot of kids if they don't get the funding. But they're not, they're just not sure yet what's going to happen. So
they don't
kind of waiting to see.
Is there any way to try to make up some of this money or try to fix this?
That's what they're trying to figure out. So, yeah. I mean, really, and the superintendents that I spoke to yesterday said, you know, we're just kind of in a holding pattern. We're not really sure what's going to happen, but they all were prepared to cut those programs if the funding doesn't come in, because that's a lot of money that they don't have extra money laying around.
It's Mississippi education. There's no money laying around. 21st century grants, 13 area programs received those last year, Aberdeen, Baldwin, Corinth, Oklahoma, et cetera. To explain to us a little bit what these grants are about.
So the grants provide money to help school districts, I'm trying to think the right word, I guess, run or operate these after-school programs or enrichment programs. And then some places, the school district kind of operates the grant, but other places outside of school, that's like in Corinth, they work with a couple other school districts and then some like local nonprofit organizations. And so, but they're all, you know, geared toward kids and helping kids.
So this doesn't really affect the basic education that's going on with the kids, but this extra stuff, like I said, enrichment, which in Mississippi is really needed. That's what's getting hit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not affecting your everyday, you know, school hours kind of thing, but the things that they offer outside of those school hours that, like you said, are extra support for kids are in danger if they don't have funding, because those things, you know, they can't be, they're not funded in the regular school budget. So,
wow. Yeah. I mean, just an example, New Albany, without the grant money, they'd have to find just basically $300,000 to fund its tutorial and enrichment programs. It's going to be hard to do that.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have, you know, school districts don't have $300,000 just laying around. So it's,
no, they don't.
You know, I don't know what they're going to do. And that's kind of where we're at. We just wait and see.
Listen, I'm no good with money. So I could see myself making this kind of error, but you know what? That's not what I'm paid to do. I'm flabbergasted at how this happened.
Well, yeah. And the staff members who were responsible were fired. So
I hope so.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and apparently, State Superintendent Carrie Wright has been jumped on this and really trying to figure it out. So we'll see what they do. But
they were probably too busy playing Pokemon Go. Speaking of which.
Which brings us to our next story.
Your next news. That's a good segue, Derek.
Forced, Jack Wagon.
You had a story about this Tupelo Middle School teacher, Anthony Golding, who's using Pokemon Go. This teacher wants to use Pokemon Go to teach students about local history, basically. Because, you know, if people are not familiar with it, I don't play it, but I have an idea because my kids play it. Try to find these different Pokemon at different spots around town.
There's all these One Direction characters, and you got to throw a ball at them and try to catch them.
If there's One Direction characters, never mind. So you go to these different spots, and a lot of these, you know, this game can take you a lot of cool places, like around town that maybe you wouldn't normally go to. So this guy's trying to basically help kids learn about just what's around them, which they may not have paid attention to before.
Yeah, he and he plays the game too, so he's, you know, he knows about all the historical markers, like Elvis's birthplace, for example, is one of them, and so you can go there to like reload on your Pokemon supplies. I don't play the game, so I'm probably using the wrong terminology, but
you're like 22 and don't play the game. That's weird.
My husband plays. I don't play.
Is this Cubert?
Cubert. Anyway,
I have no idea what that is.
Oh God,
we are old, Derek. Jeez.
Do you know who Cubert was on the Atari?
You know what Atari is?
I do know what that is.
Okay. Not the Atari's the band, but like the actual gaming system.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
So you know, he's been out playing and noticed that all of these Pokestops are at historical markers. So, you know, you can go, you can get some reload on your Pokeballs or whatever, and then, you know, read about Elvis's house that he was born in. So he would just kind of got to thinking, you know, he teaches Mississippi studies at Tupelo Middle School. And they cover some of our local history here in Tupelo in class. And so he was thinking, well, you know, these kids are really into Pokemon Go, but, it's taken them to these historical places. Yeah. So, you know, if you can kind of mesh the two so that the kids are not only playing the game and they're interested in that, but that they can maybe use that as a way to be interested in the places that they're stopping along the way. So they haven't done anything yet because school's just started and gotten kind of, they're still trying to get into their routines and everything. But he said he hopes to, in the next couple months, set something up where either the kids have like an assignment where they, you know, have to go home and come back with some information from a historical marker if they've been playing Pokemon Go and they can have a class discussion. Or he was even saying it would be really cool to set up like a Pokemon history excursion, maybe on a weekend where they could all get together and go on a walking tour downtown and Main Street and kind of stop, play the game, stop along the way, have a little history lesson and do that kind of thing together. So, I think it's really neat to look at it that way as a teaching tool.
Yeah, it really is a creative way, which I think the best teachers find out ways to meet the kids where they are in a sense, especially with something like that and take advantage of what they're already going to be doing anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they're already doing it, then you're halfway there.
Yeah, it'd be so. Just sitting there trying to memorize a bunch of names and dates in a book. This makes it easier. Your association. I'm no teacher, but I just...
But you know things.
I know stuff.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff, Emma. Excellent stories, and you can check them out in the Daily Journal or at djournal.com. Thank you.
Thanks.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Lee County supervisors continue to consider options to remedy a jail facility in disrepair. Poor conditions at the Lee County Tupelo Adult Jail have been discussed by county leaders for years. Supervisors are now considering forming a partnership with neighboring counties to tackle the problem. Under that plan, all counties participating in a partnership would contribute equally toward the construction of a new jail. The Lee County Board of Supervisors appointed Board President Billy Joe Holland and Board Vice President Phil Morgan to a committee to further investigate a possible regional partnership. Lee County's current 202-bed jail was built in the mid-1990s. Sheriff Jim Johnson updated supervisors earlier this year about problems with the facility, including outdated and malfunctioning electronic and utility systems.
More than 400 motorcycles are expected to rumble into Tupelo on Monday when members of the American Legion Post 49 dedicate their new building. The event will include the National Commander of the American Legion, Dale Barnett. He will be a part of the legacy ride that will swing through northeast Mississippi. Barnett is expected to arrive around 6 p.m. and the ceremony will begin when he does. Post 49's building was destroyed during the 2014 tornado. The Post is seeking volunteers to help paint on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. To volunteer, call Mike Pettigrew at 662-610-6310.
Oxford resident and former Ole Miss All-American Sam Kendricks won a bronze medal on Monday night in the Olympic pole vault. It was the first Olympic medal for a U.S. pole vaulter in 12 years. Kendricks cleared 5.85 meters, or 19 feet, 2 and a quarter inches. He failed on three attempts at 5.93. His personal best is 5.92. The 23-year-old Kendricks was a two-time NCAA champion for the Rebels. He was second at the World Indoors in March.
A local group called North Mississippi Helping Louisiana will be accepting donations for flood victims in Louisiana and southern Mississippi. The group will accept donations at Whittington Office Furniture at 277 Community Drive in Tupelo. It is spearheaded by Tupelo City Councilman Markle Whittington. The group is asking for donations of cleaning supplies, sustainable food, water, clothes, and personal hygiene products. A complete list can be found on the North Mississippi Helping Louisiana Facebook page.
Baptist Memorial Hospital Union County celebrated the completion of a $600,000 renovation to accommodate the Baptist Cancer Center into the former emergency department. The center will have 5 exam rooms, a large treatment room with 8 recliners, and comprehensive oncology services. Patients also will have access to research trials, financial assistance, and convenience features. Need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are the third generation owners of the East Tupelo Grocery Store that was founded in 1957. Palmer Brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year, decided to go with their Cost Plus program. Store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That's allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. Visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Let's welcome Bobby Harrison into the show. Bobby, how you doing?
Hey, Brad. All right. How you How you doing?
Doing well, sir. Bobby, of course, is our Capital Bureau Chief down there in Jackson. And Bobby, it looks like people may get may be able to spend even less time at the DMV, which gets a standing ovation from me, Bobby.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying they're working to put in more kiosks where you can sort of like, you know, sort of like an ATM where you can avoid having to stand at the counter and deal with a person. And then they're also saying that they're going to be allow you to do more stuff online.
Yeah.
Even get the 8-year license online, which will eliminate some of the lines at the stations.
Right. And this is, I guess, part of this 5-year effort by the Department of Public Safety to make this an easier process for everybody.
That's right. They've been working on this. The kiosks have been in probably about 8 or 9 years, I guess, and I think they are due for an upgrade, and so that's all part of the same process. I mean, this has been as long as I can remember, this has been an issue. Even going back to when I got my first driver's license, having to stand in those long lines, get those numbers or those letters, and plus the Department of Public Safety, you know, they realize they have a problem. They don't like it. And they say that they're trying to update a old system that's been in place for more than 25 years. And in doing that, the technological advances, ooh, that was a smart mouthfeel, should help eliminate some of the lines.
Yeah, and they're also, installing some better security features for people's driver's licenses. They're going to be maybe have a different look to them supposed to make them more secure.
Make them more secure. They're doing that. Their license are issued now. They say they're doing that. You know, you can get so much stuff now is stored on your license as part of federal law and whatnot. And so they just try to eliminate the possibility of identity theft. And that's the main thing.
Possibility. Yeah, and now am I reading this right? You can also renew your license online. Like, can you sit at home and do that, or you have to go to the kiosk? You can sit at home and renew your license, or you still got to go to the kiosk and do it online way?
No, you can do it. You can actually do it online.
Okay.
Real quick story, Brad. This has been going on for a while. Years ago, I took my kids to my boys to Houston to see some baseball games. And we got to the airport and pulled out my license, and they'd been expired for a year. And so they said, well, you know, you can still board the plane. You got to be pulled aside and, you know, kind of, you know, extra security. And I said, okay, I can deal with that. But I got to Houston and when the real problems came, I couldn't rent my car that had scheduled. And my wife, bless her heart, was back at the house and she filled out my life. She applied for a new license online. And then there's something that they will send you to verify that you've done that, and they sent it, but she couldn't print it on our printer. She had to go across the neighbor's house to print it, and then she found she had to go across the neighbor's house to fax it. We couldn't fax it from our house, and she actually found a place in the Houston, I don't know what it is, Houston International Airport or whatever it's called, to fax out for them to the airport in Houston. So I was eventually able to rent a car and salvage our trip.
Oh, that's funny. Technology is amazing, Bobby.
Yeah.
This is a story you can find in yesterday's journal or at djournal.com. And like I said, always good to spend less time at the DMV. Bobby, thanks for your time, sir.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Jenna Parsons joining us now. Did she not say you were bringing something last time?
Yeah, she sure did.
Yeah, I think
she
did.
She promised
she
was bringing something.
I will have it on my next appearance. I believe we're the exact. You jack wagon. You didn't bring us any food.
I am a figment of y'all's imagination.
Not even this interview's here. Over.
I don't even write this stuff.
She just six-sensed us. She's not even here right now. Well, that's okay because now I want to talk about sausage balls, and maybe you can bring those for us next week.
Well, these aren't sausage balls. These are in the form of sausage balls, but they're actually made with ground chuck and bacon.
I know, they're bacon cheeseburger balls.
They are bacon cheeseburger balls.
Which sound even better and probably even less healthy.
Right, because they still have 2 cups of cheese.
That's fine, I'll eat them.
They're good. They did, as I say in my column, they were not round like sausage balls. They sort of flattened out like little fat cookies. But they were good, I think, at the end of the day. As Clay Foster likes to say, I still prefer sausage balls. These are a nice alternative, though. And there's Dijon mustard and onion in them, and that gives them a little zip, not to mention the cayenne pepper.
I do like that Bisquick being poured out for some sausage balls. It's always good. So did you make these?
I did. I made them on Sunday while we were watching Olympic golf, and we had those as a little snack.
Yeah. You made about 36
of those? I did.
And leftover was about?
There are probably 7 or 8 left. Yeah. In fact, I had one yesterday evening when I got home to see if I thought that they might carry over till this morning to bring to you guys. But I thought, no, they really need to be, made fresh. Destroyed. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I see how that goes. All right. Well, you visited Ray Ray's. It's a restaurant?
It is. It used to be, originally it was Graves Grocery for more than 30 years.
Yeah, I recognize that building.
Little place where you could buy convenience store items, get gas, and then Ray, I believe, added a little kitchen to it and started cooking lunch for people when he had it. And then when Craig White bought it, Ray actually had it open for dinner. He had it open for dinner in the evenings on the weekends. And then Craig White, who bought it after Ray died last December, has expanded it. And now it's all restaurant. But I will tell you that my husband and I went there one day 3 or 4 months ago for lunch. And we got there probably right at noon, and it was wiped out. There was nothing left but a couple of burgers and some chicken tenders. So this place does a booming business.
That ribeye looks fantastic.
That's one of their best sellers. And Craig and Christie's daughter, said, Madison, she said about her dad, she said he cooks a mean steak.
It looks fantastic, as does the roll. The whole thing looks good. I'll have one of the whole thing.
Well, they are a restaurant family. Christie's parents have Johnny's Drive-In. Mm-hmm. And so she grew up in the business. And then when she and Craig married, he got into the business, and he worked at Johnny's a little bit. He got his start at nights when they had nights.
Right.
Christie's parents are Don and Barbara Knight.
Right.
And so he was just logical to take over the restaurant when Ray died. But I tell you, from what I understand, that community, they were devastated when Ray Hutchison died. And so
that was in 2015, right?
In December. And so when Craig bought it, he kept the name, which really meant a lot to the community. And then he had caps and T-shirts made up that say Ray Ray's at the top of the ridge, because the restaurant is where Highway 348 and Birmingham Ridge cross.
Yeah.
And then he just didn't change much, and he kept the recipes, he kept the cooks. And you got to love that. You got to love somebody who honors the person before you and tries to keep the same quality.
Continue the tradition. Like you said, they are a restaurant family. I spent many a Friday night at Nights before it burned
before
down.
Before it burned, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I recognize this place, but I need to... sounds like I need to venture there, but earlier than noon, I guess.
Get there early, yeah.
It's like an 11 a.m. or lunch.
Well, they're open from 6 a.m. till 2 p.m.
Oh, so that's like a 10 a.m. lunch.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I'm gonna get there for something good then, before it runs out.
Yeah, they do a plate lunch.
And your cook of the week this week, insurance agent.
She is, Rebecca Wood in Oxford, and she's a young thing. But she'll be 29 on the 20th, whatever that is, Saturday, I think. And she, because she's an insurance agent in Oxford, and that's a university town, they had a hard time getting out at lunch and getting something because the students, they just fill the restaurants.
Yeah.
So they decided that they would bring their lunches to work, and they just kind of started with sandwiches. And Rebecca just said, guys, I can't do a sandwich every day. So she started bringing leftovers from home or sometimes a crock pot full of roast. That's what she cooked for us, was a roast with potatoes and carrots. And I tell you, as soon as the photographer had taken the picture of that, the other people, the staff and the owner of the insurance company, they just piled in and started getting platefuls.
I can't do roast and potatoes and carrots in a crock pot.
You know what?
It was done. It was done so often to me. I think you and I have had this story before. It was done so often to me as a child, it seems like punishment now.
I'll tell you what, I am thankful that you and Brad are not my children, because there would be no pleasing y'all at the dinner table.
I'm actually not. It was like every Sunday for lunch.
I'm not that picky, actually.
That's a typical Sunday lunch. That's a meemaw kind of lunch.
It's too much. It's too much.
No. You think I'm picky? Try to feed my kids. All my girls are now basically vegetarians.
Well, now, who has made them picky? Who has allowed them to be picky?
What jackwagon in here
did
that?
Listen, Trinity, okay?
Right.
When she was younger, much younger, we had a deal. If you didn't finish your meal because you didn't like it or whatever, that's what you ate for the next meal. So we had something one night she didn't like. I don't know if it involved broccoli or what it was. So it was like, oh, you got to have it for breakfast.
Nothing better than cold broccoli.
Got to have it for lunch. Didn't eat it. She basically didn't eat for 3 days because she refused to eat it. Okay, so this is what I'm up against with these kids.
We need to cut. DHS does not need to hear this.
I'm just saying.
Did she ever eat it?
I don't remember.
Well, I wouldn't eat three-day-old broccoli
probably
either.
Not. She won, probably. She's the most stubborn child
I would eat 5-day-old bacon cheeseburger bites, though, however.
Hint, hint. Okay, maybe I'll bring them tomorrow, and they'll be, what, 6 days old?
You didn't destroy them after all that?
I didn't say they weren't good. I said I didn't want... I wanted them to be their best possible.
In her head, she thought these jack wagons aren't getting these. I'm going to eat the rest of them for myself. How many did Patrick eat?
Patrick wasn't home. It was just Charlie and me. Yeah, he'd already gone back to Mississippi State. Mm.
Terrible. He missed out on those.
He did.
His loss, our gain. Jenna, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Need to remind y'all once again that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, where you can get the ingredients for the recipes in today's food section. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. You can visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's. And that's it for today's show, my friends. We are done. Derek Russell's already done. He just got out of here. He's gone.
He bolted.
Like, forget this, guys.
I got real work to do.
Yeah, he did have real work to do. He had some interviews to take care of. But anyway, thank you all for joining us. You can find us a variety of ways, of course, and for free, by the way, in iTunes. If you don't have an iPhone, then you can find us on a variety of podcast apps like Player.fm, Stitcher, Satchel, any others I'm forgetting there. Chris, those are the three of the big ones.
Player.fm, Stitcher, Satchel. Yeah, that's a... Okay. Some Google Play. Not having an Android, I haven't walked through it, but we should be in Google Play as well. We filled out the right forms to be in there.
Well,
so
good. Yeah, just go search for there. Yeah, search for the memo, hit the subscribe button, and that way you'll get notified right there on your phone every time a new episode drops. And also, you can listen to it on your web browser, on your computer there at memo.djournal.com. Send us an email if you want, memo@journalinc.com. Tell us about all the terrible boy bands that you hate.
Or argue with Brad if
you think they're great.
One Direction.
And if my daughter Deanna is listening, she may want to send an angry email about it.
All caps.
I trash talked One Direction there. You can find the stories that we talked about today. You can find those at djournal.com or in your copy of the Daily Journal. Follow the Journal on Twitter @djournalnow. Be sure to give our Facebook page a like as well. Get updates on your Facebook feed when you're looking at Facebook instead of working. Not that I do that. And also follow me on Twitter @BradLock. Derek's on Twitter @WDerekRussell. Chris is on Twitter @ChrisKiefer. We'll be back tomorrow. Derek will be here, I assume. I'll be here. That's for sure. Kiefer will be here. Hopefully you'll be here as well. So until then, have a good Wednesday.